Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 43. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Nate, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
So not that we've tried to go through this beginning three times, and I almost messed it up again.
You had a little...
So we got a couple good blooper reels, though, right? So
yeah.
So here we are in a mini. We got through our main. We are toddless tonight, not topless.
No toddy.
No hot toddy. But he's not feeling well. So last week it was me out with a crazy lifestyle, kind of weird week happening, right? What I call it, DEFCON 5, going on 6.
Hopefully not 6.
Yeah, no 6, right? No 6 for me. And my reset button broke as well. Mm-hmm. But now Todd is not feeling well. Sounds like he just got something he's got to get over. He really did try to get here, but I'm glad he didn't.
I think and we got word that his daughter does not feel well now.
Yeah, she's not feeling well. So I think it's got they got something maybe going on in their house that they just need to get better from. So Todd, we miss you. We'll see you next week, right? And this is
thanks for not coming here and getting us sick.
Yeah, and I promised Nate that we are not trying to lure him into this, like, him doing it all by himself, and we're like, yeah, we can't make it anymore.
if both of you call in,
it's the Nate show.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It's not happening. So anyway, yeah, those will just have like intermission.
I'll play some elevator music.
So we have a surprise for you, creepies. This is a mini, so we like to dive in head first. We jump in feet first, head first, as long as we're not landing on our back. That's what we normally say. Butt first sometimes, yes. But we have a surprise, and this is going to be a surprise for Todd, too, because he doesn't know about this.
We're not telling him.
Just didn't feel right having the seat not filled. So I joke and say, like, we asked Rachel, we asked Sam, we asked Parker. All of them said, yeah, are you kidding me? No. But we asked Dane. And Dane has been mentioned many times in this studio, many times. And he said yes. So he is here with us in studio for this mini. So thank you, Dane, for coming, filling Todd's seat. Welcome.
What's up?
None too much, man. What do you think?
It's new.
It's new.
Something I've never done. So
this is going to be major bragging rights, right, to all your friends.
Oh, yeah, for
your
sure.
Your girlfriend, right? Shout out to her, right?
My voice is... heard throughout the world.
Yeah. We were preemptively saying, now don't worry, because this is just heard in multiple countries and all the states in the union, lots of big cities, no problem. Now let's go, Dane.
A lot of judgment.
No pressure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is make it or break it time, right? No. This is fun. We have fun. This is why we do this. So
basically, it just turns into a microphone and headphones and a chat between three people.
That's right.
Yep. That's all it is. And we put it out there and others listen. If they choose. Yep.
I hear crickets is what I hear.
I was wondering.
What was that? What? So we're going to jump right in, right?
Let's do it.
We got first. A little preemptive talk out of the way, right? So this was my choice. So I'm going to be laying the groundwork, but I got to tell you what it is first. It is on gargoyles. This is something that's really cool. Really fun. So we're going to have a good talk about this. In architecture, and specifically, and I said that without any problems, right? In Gothic architecture, our gargoyle, which I don't even know what this is, but it's like, is a carved or formed grotesque with a spout designed to convey water from a roof and away from the side of a building, thereby preventing rainwater from running down masonry walls and eroding the mortar between. Architects often used multiple gargoyles on a building to divide the flow of rainwater off the roof to minimize the potential damage from a rainstorm. A trough is cut in the back of the gargoyle, and rainwater typically exits through the open mouth. Gargoyles are usually an elongated, fantastical animal because the length of the gargoyle determines how far water is directed from the wall. When Gothic flying, I'm going to say it, buttresses, not buttresses, it looks like buttresses, were used... Aqueducts were sometimes cut into the obutrus to divide water over the aisle walls. That's a mouthful, by the way. I just said a mouthful, didn't I?
Well, your booty has a trough.
It's a booty hole. Yeah. It's a booty hole. Well, I got it.
It guides liquids if you so choose.
Dane's like, why did I agree to this? Why? Why did I agree to this one?
I did not know any of that about a gargoyle. I thought they're just decorative stone figures on buildings.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Did you know that, Dane?
I had no idea they deflected water off of buildings.
I know. And we sit there and we're going to talk about some of the ones we've seen, too. We're going to talk about some famous ones as well. But I didn't either. So I thought, I'm sitting here reading this going, am I the only one? Am I the only one that missed this?
I think we're educating a lot of people on this episode.
I picked this because it's cool. Well, yeah. Waverly,
demonic looking. Waverly,
there's a huge one, there's going to be a really cool picture of that. We took a picture of the cool gargoyle, but there's also gargoyles on the top of the roof at Waverly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was when we were walking in, we were just making note and taking pictures, and I said, we should do this as a mini.
Yeah.
And so Todd's like, add it to the list. And so we really did. And then when he was like, what do you want to do next? I'm like, can we do gargoyles? Because that'll be really fun. And you mentioned that you like the cartoon.
Yeah.
There's a Disney cartoon, uh-huh. Gargoyles, 2010, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember how the seasons, but there was, it was good. I watched it too, actually.
I was watching it with the kids. They're like little superheroes or whatever.
Well, it's interesting though, and we were talking about this, that it's a misnomer because gargoyles throughout history now have basically become collectively known as just the creepy things that are on the buildings, right? And they are the idea of what I thought, I even wrote down, like they ward off evil spirits. I mean, that's the point of them, right? But that's not really necessarily true. What we think of as a gargoyle is actually just a spout that's supposed to take the water away, again, to protect the building. So that's what a gargoyle is. But a grotesque is what we think of as a gargoyle. So that cartoon should have been called the Grotesques.
Grotesques.
It's not nearly as cool.
Doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Yep. So it says, and this is interesting how far back it goes, since at least the 18th century in France and Germany, as well as the English, grotesque has come to be used as a general adjective for the strange, mysterious, magnificent, fantastic, hideous, ugly, incongruous, unpleasant, man, they got a lot of adjectives, or disgusting, and thus it is often used to describe weird shapes and distorted forms such as Halloween masks. In art, performance, and literature, however, grotesque may also refer to something that simultaneously invokes an audience of feeling uncomfortable, bizarreness, or as well as sympathetic pity. So again, though, on a lot of these buildings, and they say that even like the Catholic Church, you know, there's a lot of cathedrals and churches that have these, and they say, what are we doing here? This is evil. Like, isn't this evil? But the whole idea was to combat evil.
Yeah. Well, and it was to remind you of acts of sin.
Right.
Try to steer you and scare you away from that.
Yeah.
And then there was also other groups of people that used like monsters on their buildings for drainage purposes.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptians, Greeks, the Romans, they all created them in you know, every animal shape or mythological form that they ever I am fumbling with my words.
That's all right. Hey, this is part of the fun.
Yep.
Fumble is okay.
Yeah, but what I've seen sometimes is like they do scare off devils and like bad spirits. So that's what I've seen when they're on like sides of churches and stuff. It's to keep the devil or, you know, evil spirits
at bay, right?
Scare the devil with another devil.
I know it's so weird.
Bee Jesus out of you. And it does too. I mean, like we were at Waverly, I said, Biltmore is another one that we saw, you know. And that's wild too, because we spent part of our time like taking pictures and trying to get a close look at some of the architecture of those. So
there's a lot of detail at the Biltmore.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And there's statues too that are really cool on the outside. I got some really good pictures.
And then there's like, if you looked at like,
yeah, it was like Goatman.
But like a lot of the like
there were devils, demons, Goatman,
gingerbread,
right?
You know, like old wooden homes, like all the decorative wood scrolling work and stuff is called gingerbread. Well, this limestone gingerbread, if you will, if you looked, you could at the Biltmore, you could see faces and squirrels and acorns and all sorts of different things in the limestone work.
The other interesting thing is there's a thing that they're sculpted into, which are called chimeria, and that's a mythological term. That is, and that's something I've heard, and I don't know that I ever really completely understood it. I always think of it as, when I hear it, it's like a fantasy-based type thing or something that is from your imagination. But it's the chimera are also chimeria or era and a lot of other things I can't say, which actually means she-goat. So we're not going to go down that. According to Greek mythology, I know that leads us back into goat sucker, doesn't it? Yeah, Todd will appreciate that, which I believe you guys called me that.
Son of a she-goat.
Might have tried to refer to me as that. According to Greek mythology, was a monstrous fire-breathing hybrid creature composed of a different animal parts from Lycia, Asia Minor. It usually is depicted as a lion with the head of a goat protruding from its back and a tail that might end with a snake's head. It was the offspring of Typhon and Echidna. We always pick these that we can't pronounce. And a sibling of such monsters as the Sybaris and the Lemurian Hydra. So these are all great characters. But the interesting thing is that you see a lot of like animals in a lot of this too. And yeah. I think the chimera, at least from the vantage point of looking at them as a gargoyle, is basically two different animals combined into this like fantasy based or mythological based animal. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. This is stuff that I didn't even like think about when you're, you know, considering this topic. I just thought, oh, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing to look at. You know, but there's like stories of where, you know, legends come from too.
Mm-hmm.
The origin comes from France, and there's French gargoyles are where they say that they come from. The one that I'm looking at, they talk about the goat. It's like a goat looking goat man kind of thing.
Yeah.
It says, why are the gargoyles on French Gothic churches, you might ask? Well, it seems that there's one explanation you may need to take with a pinch of salt. The story takes place in the seventh century. It's been retold many times over the last 1400 years, resulting in several adaptations. It all started in Normandy, where the Seine River, I believe that's how you say it, S-E-I-N-E, right? Seine River, snakes through a town known as Rouen. How gargoyles came to be. It is said that a fearsome monster took up residence in the marshes along the banks of the river. While he looked like your normal garden variety serpent / dragon, he was a bit different. Instead of breathing fire out of his mouth like most dragons, he belched out floods of water. He caused havoc along the river, sinking ships and eating the passengers. He flooded fields and ate all of the unfortunate people and animals that crossed his path. The city leaders brokered a deal with the monster to keep those within the city walls safe. The monster, who was called La Gargoyle, I said that.
Oui,
oui. Did we look that up? Did we voice? No, we didn't actually look that up. Demanded
that was on the fly.
That's on the fly, baby. Demanded one human from the town each year. That sounds fair. This, as long as it's not me.
Sounds like a yearly sacrifice.
Ah, doesn't it? Yeah. This supplemented his diet of cattle, sheep, sailors, and those who dare, you know, I gave him gas, so. Sailors and those who dared to cross his territory. He put in a request for tender, of course I knew this was coming, for tender young virgins as his annual treat. But the town folk just couldn't bring themselves to do that. They decided to give him prisoners who had been condemned to death. It didn't really change the prisoner's fate, and the monster gobbled them up without even noticing. So then it says, the people of Rouen were gripped by fear and afraid to venture out into the city or beyond the city walls. A young priest arrived called Father Romaine. He was full of enthusiasm and faith and felt sure he could deliver the town from its tormentor. When the day came to feed the dragon his annual human sacrifice, brave Father Romaine headed toward the marsh where La Gargoyle lived. With him was a nervous prisoner who would be used as bait to lure out the monster. If it all went well, the monster dealt with, the prisoner was to be pardoned. As the faithful priest and fearful prisoner approached La Gargoyle's lair, the dragon lumbered out to meet him. He was big and ugly, with thick gray-green skin. He had wings like a bat, a long serpent-like body, and two webbed feet. His neck was long and scaly, and his eyes glowed like luminescent moonstones. The men could smell his foul breath. Just as he was ready to lunge for the prisoner, the Father Romaine pulled out his secret weapon, which was a solid gold cross that he'd been holding behind his back. The light of the sun hit the cross and reflected into the monster's eyes. He was immediately subdued and knelt down at the priest's feet. The three unlikely companions marched to the city, the priest leading the dragon on a leash made from the priest's scarf. When they arrived, the people were amazed that he had tied up the gargoyle, who offered no resistance. Romaine pronounced him guilty of many crimes. As punishment, he was to be burned at the stake in front of the church. But when the fire burned out,
stake.
The gargoyle's head and neck remained. They weren't even scorched. The ashes from the monster's body were thrown into a river, and his head and neck were mounted on the new church as a reminder of the power of God. Hmm. That, I know it's a long story, man, but I thought, that's good.
That's woo. Insane.
Some of the most famous gargoyles are on the Notre Dame, mm-hmm. or Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. They say that it is a connection between Gothic architecture and Gothic horror.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Trying to bridge both of them together.
That's and something we're going to cover too. The House of the Seven Gables. Mm-hmm. I know, and that book is. It makes me think of the. There's a gargoyle, and it's very picturesque in that on the front of that book. And I remember I had that when I was a kid too. So, but yeah, those there are different. That just a look of a gargoyle makes you think, uh-oh, something's up, right?
They definitely achieve their purpose of scaring devils.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, then I see here it's saying. That remember most 13th century people were not literate, nor they spoke Latin. So therefore, it was their way to understand religion through visual symbols.
Right, exactly.
So gargoyles were stone demons personifying the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And what awaits in the afterlife for those who sin.
Until they became a Disney cartoon. Then they were good.
Yeah, then they're good. they're superheroes.
Yes, exactly right.
Which makes sense. I mean, not everybody back in those days, unless you're rich, were literate. So
right,
you learn through visualization.
Yes.
And
storytelling.
Stories and pictures.
And especially when we talk about stories, we've said this before, that one of the most popular stories is a ghost story, is a horror-based story, something to teach us a lesson, but also to prevent people from doing things you didn't want them to do.
Yeah, you scare someone, especially children, they won't do it.
Yes, exactly. So, and I'm not saying that the Catholic Church was involved in anything like that, but truly they would, you know, when you came into some of these cathedrals and you saw these, the fear of God was probably put into you, and I'm sure. And even today, when you look at him, it's like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And I do not want to meet them in dreams. I don't want to meet them in the afterlife. So it does its job, right?
And then they're believed to turn into flesh at night and fly around seeking victims.
Oh, man.
And punishing them.
Hey, everybody's got to have a job, right? Hobby, right?
And then if they do not return to their spot before sunlight, they self-destruct.
Sounds awesome.
I thought...
Do you want to be a gargoyle?
All the ones I've seen, I thought wherever they were at, they just turned back into stone.
Into stone, yeah. Right.
But yeah, this says...
Apparently not.
Self-destruct.
Woo! Like a ticking time bomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to look at fandom, Monster Wiki, under gargoyle. They have both female and male genders. Did you know, Dane, that they have female?
I
have
no idea. Couldn't tell.
The species that there are angels and demons. So this is saying that there are good ones and there are bad ones. This is from fandom. A gargoyle is a living monster that was made of stone-like substance during the day. By the night, it became flesh, which we've been talking about, shredding the stone-like substance. They come in many varieties. Some are full-bodied, often with wings. Others are simply disembodied visages that simply watch, having only half a body. Gargoyles are not the same as other stone beings, such as the golem, as gargoyles are always in the form of inhuman, possibly demonic creatures. They stand guard in Gothic-style structures, such as cathedrals and European castles. It's also been said that gargoyles only come alive to fend off evil. We've been talking about that already.
Yeah.
Which would explain them being found on churches commonly. So there is a possibility that gargoyles just look evil and scary to fend off bad intruders. It's also said that in some legends that they are a type of lesser guardian angel that is sometimes often considered to be an abomination due to the fact that they are half angel, half demon, but nobody actually knows if a gargoyle is good or evil. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a coin toss.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, you know what's funny about coins? I was searching on Google, and one of the suggestions was, like, what do gargoyles eat? So apparently, I guess, if they come to life, and it's coins and, like, gold.
Oh, wow.
That's so weird.
Like flying leprechauns.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I don't know.
It takes us back.
It said coins, and I was like, that's just so random.
That is random. They're interesting. You were talking about them being on Notre Dame. We were talking about them being on the Biltmore. Which did you want to talk at all about how, like, there was, you know, that was...
I know. It was interesting. How many they were and how big.
They're everywhere.
I know. It was on honestly every corner almost.
And the Biltmore was built in the late 1800s. And then there was, you know, obviously a residence in the early 1900s and then into the 1900s. But it's amazing to me how many they put on there. So it's not this. That's not an ancient structure by any means.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was interesting that they put those on there. They wanted to look almost like a cathedral or that old
gothic
style. Yeah. Right, exactly. So it's just those are really cool. I think I got a picture looking out the window, and it's like a knight, and it was a really cool like statue. So, but and there were gargoyles around it. So, it was just really cool how they decked that house out.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other ones that some other famous ones you're talking about. Gargoyles at Ulmer Munster Church. And it's located in Ulm in Germany, and it has numerous Gothic-inspired gargoyles, which are meant to keep those evil spirits at bay. Gargoyles at Duomo di Milano, and it's the world's largest Gothic cathedral, considered to be the world's best architectural feats. I almost said that right. Its gargoyles are located near the top, which can be accessed, after climbing 170 stairs. There's gargoyles at the National Cathedral. Now, the one that I wanted to point out is there's a pair of gargoyles. Have you guys ever heard of these guys? Frank and Carson. These are apparently famous gargoyles I was not familiar with. Have you guys heard of them at all?
No.
So there's Frank and Carson are the names of the gargoyles at the Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania, in the U.S., obviously. They were added to the existing building in 2005 to fight off, guess what? Evil spirits.
Yeah.
Right? So, and there's that one, some of these places, Merton Chapel College has gargoyles. That's in Oxford. It's a college in Oxford, England. It says several gargoyles carved at the side of the chapel roof. Gargoyles are on the Dragon Bridge. That's in Slovenia. It's a Dragon Bridge. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? And it's in, I have no idea how to say this, Ljubljana. Ljubljana. So sorry for the Dragon Bridge people. Is home to dragon-like gargoyles that guard the bridge, which kind of a, I kind of figured that.
Mm-hmm.
There's gargoyles on the Chrysler Building.
Mm-hmm.
So New York City's Chrysler Building has them featuring they're modeled after the Plymouth hood ornaments that are found across various Chrysler automobile products. That's cool. I think that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
They're, of course, on Westminster Abbey. That's not surprising. We know that. They have, the gargoyles at London's Westminster Abbey offer a bold contrast to the saint statues found on the exterior of the church. They hold the gaze of many visitors every day. Now, I've heard some of these places, too, they say that there's secret messages in some of these gargoyles. I know I'm sure we can slide down the conspiracy slide another time, but I've heard that before in my travels and some of these stories. And I find that to be interesting too. So I don't know any truth to that, but, and then one of the other, there is, like I said, they're all over the world, definitely over in, Europe. You know,
definitely
in England, they are all around and around this country too. Like I said, the Biltmore, you know, we tried to follow suit with some of the ancient architecture. So and a lot of these places, no offense, I've never heard of.
Yeah. This is saying, the true horror of gargoyles is that if they were real, unlike other monsters, you wouldn't even be safe in a church.
Oh, man.
Dang.
That's where they live.
So don't take them off, right?
Yeah. No escape.
So my question, because we have to ask fun questions, would you want to ever meet a gargoyle? Would you ever want to be a gargoyle? How far back into the history do you want to... would you want to investigate? It would be interesting. I would love to go back in time and kind of be, you know... a fly on the wall to listen to, like, hey, let's start doing this with architecture. You know what I mean? When they first started doing this,
mm-hmm.
I know it's, like I said, it gets pretty ancient back there.
Yeah. We need a way of getting the water away from the building.
Oh,
let's build. Let's make these.
Let's put demons on the top demons of our roof
that puke water.
Right. And I love that, like, you know, just simple things like this. You know, Waverly, we were talking about, it's a hospital, and it had, you know, it's a TB hospital, and then it had, you know, psych patients and all that kind of stuff. But it was interesting that they thought, let's try to protect the patients this way, you know, in a very, it's interesting to me, I think. And, but it is so, you know, when you go there, and when we did our investigation, so creepy. Like, yeah. And that's what we started off. Like, we parked and went right by, it says keep out right next to that huge gargoyle. I'll have to post a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, this is going to be good. And then when you, I mean, you can't help when you're coming up that hill and looking, that's what you first see are those gargoyles.
Yeah. Yeah, because it just stands out in the skyline. Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm not going to lie. Every time you guys talk about Waverly, I just get body chills.
You got to come with us next time we go.
I don't know, dude. Like, I just look at the photos. I'm like, dang, my dad and Sean have been there, like, in that building. That's
it's a
crazy
famous place. And right now, and I don't know much about this, so I'm going to be speaking somewhat not, you know, fully understanding, but the people that actually own it right now are fighting to keep it. It sounds like, I don't know if it's the county or the state or whatever, is trying to turn it into a historical site. And so they're trying to push
them
out.
It is on the historical register.
But they are I believe they're trying to oust out the people that technically own it. So whatever the legalities there, I know there's a lot to it, but there's a lot. I've been seeing a lot of Save Waverly and try to make sure the people that own it continue to have it. So that was unknown to me when we were there, but apparently that's been going on. However that ends up, I don't know, but I hope they continue, whatever the case may be, that people can continue to go see it and enjoy the history and enjoy doing investigations, because there is definitely an energy there.
Yeah.
I found it.
And see the gargoyles.
We'll talk about it too when we actually talk about it, Waverly.
Right.
When we talk about Waverly, I look back at the pictures and it's amazing to me. It's basically a crap hole right now. A lot of it is in really, I mean, it's a solid structure. It's standing, but it is, when you look at the pictures of when it was an actual TB hospital, it is heartwarming. Yeah. Like, it was actually really beautiful.
It was a nice facility.
So anyway, that's a side note. Did you guys have anything else on gargoyles? I had a really interesting, Dane, you look like you got something.
Other than just right here, it goes in churches. They actually symbolized evil.
Yeah.
So inside the building, they're still symbolizing evil.
Interesting.
Not just on the outside. That's crazy.
Well, and like we've been talking about, I think that's interesting, because they kind of want to continue to impress upon people that this is what you're dealing with. Like, when we're in here, when we're in the church, there's good versus evil. And this is, you don't want to let, there's always Jesus on the cross, and Catholic churches as well. And in any other church you go into, that you're going to see the cross. So you're remembering, hey, there's hope. You know, God, Jesus came off that cross too, and that's awesome. But you're also in those Catholic churches, you're going to be reminded that this is what we're dealing with, and this is what we're working against. So I think that's interesting that it's working on the human psyche as well. So one thing I wanted to, I did not know much about this. I've heard about it, but it is Haunted Atchison, and it is the most ghostly and haunted town in Kansas. Have you guys ever heard of it?
I have not.
Nope.
This is great. I'm going to share this with you guys. A house is never silent in darkness to those who listen intently. There is a whispering in the distant chambers. An earthly hand presses the snib of the window. The latch rises. Ooh. Ghosts were created when the first man woke in the night. I love that. So it says, Atchison, Kansas is proclaimed the most haunted town in Kansas. So much so that a haunted homes tour is available in Atchison. It says Atchison Trolley, whatever that means. This old town once played host to over 1,600 wagons per day as settlers made their way west en route to the golden fields of California in the 1850s. Some of these early settlers have apparently chose to stay in Atchison in this ghostly town. The town is full of stories about ghostly sightings and other paranormal events. Located in the northeast Kansas, Atchison is situated on the bluffs along the Missouri River and is one of the most scenic and historic towns in Kansas. Brick streets climb hills and wind along river bluffs, offering sweeping views of the river, the river valley beyond. Grand Victorian homes with carriage houses recall glorious days when wealthy lumber merchants and railroad magnates walked the streets. The town of Atchison is so haunted that the Travel Channel has done a special segment called Haunted Town that depicts many of the haunted places. So it has several. But the one I want to point out is fascinating is, see, I said fascinating again, Gargoyle Home, which is at 819 North 4th Street. That's a lot of numbers. More often referred to as the Wagoner House, this turn-of-the-century home was built in 1884 through 1885 by B.P. Wagner, who was a lawyer and politician in the Atchison area in the late 1800s. While gargoyles are usually erected to scare off evil spirits, legend has it that Wagoner accumulated his wealth. We really should edit more of this one, but we're not going to. We accumulated his wealth through a deal with the devil, and the gargoyles were constructed in honor of the pact. It is said the house is afflicted by an evil curse. One homeowner who attempted to remove the gargoyles fell to his death on the staircase. A segment on the Travel Channel reported that Kansas City ghost hunters, while visiting the house or home, picked up the presence of ghosts on their special equipment and reported having felt a presence in the house. This house was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1974. So that's cool, and I like it, and we're going. Sean, put that on the list. Oh, okay, I will. I gotta speak for Todd this time.
Yeah, we need to personally see those gargoyles.
Yes. I would say yes.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. This has been fun. This is a great talk.
Yeah.
Dana, are you having fun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're coming back, right?
I would like to.
So you're opening the door for something. Like, we've had people talk to us like they're here. So we've had a lot of those guest chats, right? We have had Ryan Walker's been in here in studio, right? We've talked about some other people coming, so there's some super surprises coming. But you were the first kiddo, let's be honest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Teenish, agerish. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it. Todd will be super stoked about this. He's going to be like, yes. So
coming for his job.
Welcome. Yeah, right. Oh, we weren't going to tell Todd till he gets back, right? Yeah. That'll roll right off our tongue, won't it? Right? It's Dane and Dane Sean. We're your host right now. Just kidding, Todd. He's just keeping your seat warm, right?
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you for that discussion. And do you have? Oh gosh, what do you want to say? Do you got one?
Well,
I almost skipped right over.
End this before we self-destruct.
Yes,
that's like a wrap.
Like a gargoyle, right? I almost steamrolled right over you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Todd does it all the time.
He does. Well, here we go. So this is in memory of Todd. Not memory. What am I saying? He's coming back next week.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. The spirit of Todd. Thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 43 and our discussion on gargoyles. And we'll see you later.
See ya.
Adios.